Okay, welcome everyone. A week off from Yeridaya, it's been a zmanim for us. I figured I'll talk about a few inyanim that have to do with Pesach. Since when I spoke yesterday, I didn't get to anything on the Haggadah. I jotted down a few nekudas about the Haggadah, and then whatever halachas we have time to discuss. First of all, I have a general question. I'm not sure what the answer is. What the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Higata Levitza, is, whether it's a mitzvah that you yaitza with saying things you already know, or whether you have to say some chiddush. It sounds like Higata Levitza, you're telling somebody something he didn't know before. That's what it sounds like from Higata to Levitza. He didn't know before. So as if everyone knew everything before, you're not saying any chiddushim at the whole Seder. So that's also. So everybody knew everything that each other told each other.
Where's the
Mashmai Sechidish? So the Malbum, and it teaches the difference between Magid and Lesaper. He says, Lesaper, Hashemayim Mesaprim Kavayd El, Kavayd, is that there in Tilim Yud Tess. He says, Sipur is to tell somebody something he already knows. Umaseyod of Magid Harakia. Magid is something new, a chiddush. So Umaseyod of Magid Harakia says whatever is neschadish all the time. So he says, the Lashon of Magid is to tell someone a chiddush. And the Lashon of Sipur is to tell over something old, the Dabashalo Avar. So I don't know, you know, it's Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We call it Magid, it says, Vigad to tell Levincha.
When I look up the old things that I saw before, they all look smooth.
It all looks new, I understand. By us, it's like a chayv kadosh to say every word in the Haggadah. Is it really important to say the words in the Haggadah? Or the ikkar is to say little things, to say things that are... So I don't know the answer, I'm just... something I wonder about. What? Well, you can't spend the whole night saying only new. You want to say the... The God itself is not so long. Take 10 minutes to say. Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Somebody, it's a chiyuv, we have to say that it was 50 or 200 or 250 makas on the yam. It's a chiyuv to say that. It's like a chayv kaddish to say it. It's part of it, or you can say whatever you want, and that's just suggested.
So I don't know. Don't say something new. Don't say something new.
I'm asking, do you have to say something new? It says someone's sitting alone. He says that God. How does he say chiddush to himself when he's sitting alone?
Even when you say even your chazan.
Pei ba'at tomorrow, you have to say that we know. Shosh
tovar. Yeah,
You have to say the format.
Yeah.
Better, deeper, or whatever.
Oh, so that. It's technically a little strange. There's a well known Reb Chaim. It's in the beginning of all the Haggadahs. The Reb Chaim explained the difference between the mitzvah of Zechiyas Yetzias Mitzrayim every night and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach. One of the differences, he says, is that it has to be Derech Shail of a Tshuva on Pesach. But there's a Gemara in Pesachim Kuf Tezayin. The Gemara says, I think Amar Rabbi Eliezer Ledaru Avdai. He asked his Eved, he said, Eved, who's Adai, let him go free on Pesach, what should he do? So he said, he's Chayiv, Akar Satoyf to him. So he says, Patrininu, Maloimer, Siv Tzvishayim. He says, that we Yaitza. You said, Eved goes free, he has to be Mishabeach his Adai, so you were Yaitza. Well, funny, they didn't say Al Shulma, they didn't say anything. They didn't even mention Mitzrayim.
That's
and,
a question and answer, though.
Huh?
That's a question
and answer, I guess so. Okay, I may.
The Kore.
Okay. I made a list of kashas that I have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Kasha is always better than Veritloch because a kasha gets someone else's interest going. If you don't like the kashas, I won't be insulted, but it's always hard to find new kashas for Yom Tov. So here are a few ha'aris. I'm sure some of them say somewhere. On those who were sitting in Bnei Brak, I had given a shiur early this year about the yeshiva in Yavne. And from that, from the whole tumult of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Rav Gamliel, Rav Yeshua, I came to a realization that there's something in the Haggadah that seems to not make sense. It says that they... What?
Just one.
I mean, one new thing. When they're sitting there, one of those that was sitting was Rav Eliezer. As you know, Rav Eliezer was put in Chayrim. At a certain point in his life, for the rest of his life, he was in Chayrim, and no one was able to sit with him. So I would assume this happened before he was put into Chayrim. But we all say the Vart, Hariani Kiben Shivim Shana, that this was after Rav Elazar ben Azariah took over the Nesiyas from Rav Gamliel. Which means that it was after Rav Eliezer was put in Chayrim, which was before Rav Gamliel was thrown out of the Nesiyas. So if that Vart is true, what's the Makar? There's a good Makar of Hariani Kiben Shivim Shana that he, the Slavnu Sarayisav, I assume there's a real Makar for it. Everyone heard this Vart. But then it's inconsistent. Rav Eliezer couldn't be sitting there because Rav Eliezer was put into Chayrim before the whole turnover that took place with Rav Elazar ben Azariah becoming Kiben Shivim Shana.
No, but this so,
so it could be, it may be true that this thing we said in the Haggadah that happened, Bnei Brak happened earlier, and then he said, it's funny, you say one after the other. That's in Brachas, yeah, I understand, but it could be. But the cash is a good cash anyway. It's, what happened? That's a veritable. Posh Pshat was the night of Sikhisis with Giants. Maybe it was a Vart, that was a Chomay. Pashtus, they travel. The Gemara says, you know, there's a Gemara beginning above Metzia. People have heard of it, that they were stuck on a boat at the time of Bir Avivi Maestris. And Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar, they were Makna to Rabbi Shua, who was a Levi, and to Rabbi Kiva, who was a Gabbai. Now, when is Vidui Maestris? Erev Pesach. So apparently, they were all on a boat, Erev Pesach, probably traveling from Italy back down to Eretz Yisrael. They kept on traveling to Rome. And if they were on a boat, Erev Pesach, so the kasha is, why were they all in Bnei Brak on Pesach? Why weren't they home? Well, we know for sure they were on a boat, Erev Pesach. They were stuck. They said Vidui Maestris then. So obviously, it's very shayach that that's when they came. That's when they came to sit together in Bnei Brak, which was a port city. Today, Bnei Brak is a little off the port, but in the time of Chazal, it was a port city.
You said that they weren't within 4 hours.
What?
You said that they weren't within 4 hours.
No, Rav Gamliel said they were. They thought they were chutz mitchum. It says Rav Gamliel said. Oh, maybe they were more than 4 hours away from Rabbi Eliezer. I think Gemara says that could be. Rabbi Eliezer was sitting 4 hours away. In my Haggadah, they have a picture of them sitting all together.
Who's wearing the down hat over there?
I tried to get the chumash. All right, this is there's a kasha I asked the previous years, and now they put out from Chai Knievsky. So I see that he asked the kasha. He says something of a teretz. I'll tell you what he says. But there's a vart on Kol Yemei Chayecha Lo Havig L'Mayis HaMashiach. It said B'Shem De Gra. The story becomes is a little more dramatic in every Haggadah as it comes out. But basically, that the Gra said at the Seder something like the words Mikan She'ein Tikvah L'Nachash. And when they said that part of Haggadah, he said Mikan She'ein Tikvah L'Nachash. And everyone said, "What's he talking about?" So he was Masber that, or some versions have that they were afraid to ask it. Rechaim Volozhna figured it out. That it says by the Nachash that he lost his legs, right? So Shaila is, when Mashiach comes, all the women are going to be healed. Is the Nachash going to be healed when Mashiach comes? So it says in the Pasuk, the Agachin Cha Teilech, the Ofer Teichel Kol Yemei Chayecha. Since it says Kol Yemei Chayecha, Lo Havi L'Mais HaMashiach, so the Gros said, Mikan, She Tikful Nachash, that the Nachash is going to be stuck. He's stuck that way even after Mashiach comes. Because Kol Yemei Chayecha is Lo Havi L'Mais HaMashiach. Now, that's the Vart that said B'Shem Degra. It's printed in many Haggadahs. So, I don't know, it was last year, a few years ago, I asked the Kasha that, but by the Klal of Adam, it also says, B'Tzoven Teichelayla, Kol Yemei Chayecha. By the Klal of Adam, it also says that, B'Tzoven Teichelayla, and the Amid Rashim, that Osid, the trees are Osid to give out gluskois, finished breads. It doesn't sound like we're going to have to work so hard for our food. So So I had this kasha. I see that Reb Chaim Knievsky apparently asked this kasha at a Seder. Maybe he got a hold of one of the tapes here from Sunday morning and he heard the kasha. But he said a teretz. See if you like the teretz. He said that the klala, that you have to do ksira, zriya, and harisha, and ksira will still continue. It only says that when it grows, it's going to grow ready to eat food. But the klala, bitzav etechlenet, you have to work hard for food, that will remain to Yemais HaMashiach. So that's to call you Bechayach. So if you what? You have to work a little bit. You have to work on something. So what? Well, it's a technical tarot. I grant it says that the Goyim are going to be happy to work for the Yidu and the Mashiach comes, so maybe they'll work. If they work, let them do the ready all the work, and it's not. No, it says it's all the same pasuk. The whole curse is on. You know, we get his feedback. He still have to crawl. Probably not. He'll still be going. There appears to be a stira in two Rashi's in the beginning of Shemais. Rashi Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Vav brings that Klal Yisrael. What we say in the Haggadah that Va'at Eira in the area. Chazal say that they were Orim Mikol HaMitzvahs. Ve'ever Alayach Ve'erech Bishbeseses B'damayich Va'ayim Alach B'damayich Hayi. That in the schus of the blood of the Karban Pesach, the blood of Bris Milah, now they had schusim for which they could go out. So Rashi Taichis V'ayol Lachem L'Mishmeres. I think Rashi Taichis here, the Mishmeres is that B'schus this, you're going to go out of Mitzrayim. So Rashi says they wouldn't have gone out of Mitzrayim. Which schus did they go out? So Rashi says they went out in the schus of the Dam. Rashi, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav. Earlier, in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu came to the snare, and at the snare, the Rabbi Shalom told him to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. And he said, Miyonaychi, Kielach al Parai, Vichy Oitzias B'nei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. So Rashi's bothered, it's two questions, Miyonaychi, and v'chi oitzias b'nei Yisrael. So Rashi says they were talking two questions. Mi anoichi, I'm not kedai. And even if I am kedai, Rashi says, ma zochu Yisrael, shi'asal amneis. Why should Klal Yisrael go out? So in Pasuk Yud Beis, Rashi says, the Rabbi Shalom answered, that tavdu nesalikim ala hor hazeh, that Klal Yisrael is going to go out, in which schus? In the schus, that tavdu nesalikim ala hor hazeh, that they're going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai. It seems to be Rashi says it very clearly. Shasha'alta maz chus yesh li Yisrael, shi'etzu mi Mitzrayim, davagabi yesh li alaytzazu, hari yasidim l'kabal ha-toyra ala harazel, aslai shloshu chadashim. So it seems to be a clear stira. Shasha'alta maz chus yesh li Yisrael, Teretz is, they're going out this chus, that they will be mekabel the Torah, however that works. And over here, whatever kashi yeah, but Rashi says it. And over there, it says, what's chus at erim ve'erya? They were orim from all types of schusim. So what's chus are they going to go out? So Rashi says in the schus of damila and dambris. So it appears to be something of a stira the two Rashi's. There was another kasha which I saw in one of the Haggadahs. That Moshe Rabbeinu also in the snare he said, "Hein lo yaminu bi." He said, "Klai, they're not going to believe me. What am I going to Yidden for? Hein lo yaminu bi." So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "How can you say that about the Jewish people? You know, they're maminim, but they maminim. Of course they're going to believe you. Of course they're going to go out with you." The problem is that at the end of the day, 4/5 of them didn't want to go out. 4/5 of them were not prepared to go out of Mitzrayim. It sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu was 80% right, and Kavi Yochel Rebbeinu Shalom was 20% right. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu said, they're not going to listen to me. And at the end, 80% Taka didn't listen. So isn't this strange that Rebbeinu Shalom says, what are you talking about? It's Lashon Hara, you become a Mitzayra for it. And at the end, with all the Makis, you know, Bechayshach, still 80% don't want to go out. So they'll believe Moshe Rabbeinu Shalom said to go out. They believe the Rebbeinu Shalom said to go out. That could be a teretz. It's just a little strange that they have emuna, but Lashon Hara is even us if it's true. It's correct. But Rashi doesn't. Rashi says because they have maminim, but they maminim. Sounds like So maybe Moshe Rabbeinu said they all won't believe me, and 20% did believe. It could be. I saw it in the Gra and the Nitziv. They have, it's a beautiful Haggadah on the Nitziv. For years I had it in Teravadas in the library. I see now it was reprinted, so now I can get it. It's a beautiful Haggadah, because most of the Haggadahs today are not on the Haggadah. They just take all the Verat Lachan, the Parsha, and they reprint it on anything that has a slight shaykhis to the Haggadah. Like it says the word Mitzrayim, and then, you know, and it says, so they put it in. But here it's a real Haggadah. He says, on B'yad Chazaka Zay Hadever, which everybody had to say, that yes, there were 10 Machis. Why are you B'yad Chazaka? Why is it Dever more than anything else? Mitziv teaches that the Dever refers to the death of the 80% during Makas Chayshich. And he writes, and we never think about it, there was a tremendous Nisayan to Klal Yisrael. Yeah, everything is going well, and 80% died. There was many people's friends, many people's relatives, many people's very close Yedida, and 80% died. It says, by Chamushim, all of Yisrael merits Mitzrayim, it says in one of the Targums, that Chamushim, that each family went out with five families worth of children. Because by Chayshich, the children didn't die, they were Naki. The adults died. Every family had to adopt four families worth of children to be able to take all the children out of Mitzrayim. Chamushim all day, so Mitzrayim. So you have to picture what really went on. The Nitziv says, B'yad Chazaka Zay Hadever. To the Nitziv, he brings from Yecheskel that when Klal Yisrael wants to assimilate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that it's not going to happen. Ki B'yad Chazaka B'zorei Netuya B'chei Meshvucha Em Lech Aleichem. It used the lashon of Yad Chazaka Zareina Tuya, and he says, and he teaches the 80% that they believed everything Moshe Rabbeinu said, but they said, "Let's stay in Mitzrayim. Let's serve Hakadosh Baruch Hu. What do you have to go out to a desert for? It's Kegan Hashem. It's a beautiful country. So we'll take care of Mitzrayim, and we'll live in Mitzrayim as Yidden." So that on that came the einish of Yad Chazaka Zareina Tuya B'chem Shvuchem Lech Aleichem. And that's the Zay Hadever. Tach Devarav, he says that they were Maminim. They believed everything. They just wanted to do it in Mitzrayim. And for that they weren't ready to go to Eretz Yisrael, for that came the Yainish. He says that's the constant reference to Yad Chazaka. And with this, God, it helps when you learn a Chumash every time Klal Yisrael says, let's go back to Mitzrayim. What, are you crazy? Go back to Mitzrayim? Go back to work? But it seems in Mitzrayim, there were already arguments between them. To be Yidden, do we have to go to Eretz Yisrael? Can we stay in Mitzrayim? It was already an old sichsuch in Mitzrayim. So every time something went wrong, they said, oh, so they died in Mitzrayim, we're going to die here, we might as well go back to Mitzrayim. And the Nitziv, it's sort of an insight into what a part of what...
The Medrash that says that they took up four verses of children, it doesn't add up in terms of numbers.
The numbers,
the
numbers need a certain explanation, especially if they gave birth to in one shot.
It has to
be worked on. I don't.
No, the
proportion there. There are a few places where the numbers need a good.
Weren't there like? Has it been the fact there like three camps, three approaches? The ones the Rav said who stayed, and the ones who the mix the Arab Rav and also Dasan Aviram who said. They believed, and they did b'di'evad what they had to do just to get out of Mitzrayim, but once they got out, that they really were basically part of the old camp which stayed there. And then the third, of course, was the one who went forward. Has it been?
Sid is only talking about one part of it. He's not explaining everything. He's just saying the ones who died in Mitzrayim, that he explains and he pictures for us the tremendous Nisayim that there was, to have so many Yidden die in Mitzrayim. It's a tragedy. He says in Yad Chazaka Zay Hadever, he says the Dever is that. I'm telling you what he's saying about this, the Haggadah. The Haggadah we say, Yad Chazaka Zay Hadever, he says that refers, the word Dever means pestilence, means death. So it doesn't refer to the Makkah of Dever of the animals, it refers to the Dever of the death of the Yidden Mitzrayim. Okay. All right. That's why you never heard of it. That's why I'm telling you. Yeah, play
the
okay. That's right. Lahispik Bitsekam. I had a kasha, which is probably not a kasha, but I don't remember why. we know lehispik b'tzekam lahachmis, that when they went out, we remember with the matzah that they didn't have enough time for the matzah, for the dough to rise. So the problem is that Paroi sent them out at midnight, or shortly after midnight. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, nothing doing. We're not going out in the middle of the night like thieves sneaking out in the middle of the night. We're going to wait till morning. We're going to go out when it's bright outside and lit up outside. So they had 6 hours warning that they were leaving. Paroi said, leave. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, we're waiting another 6 hours from Chatzos Laila till the morning. Or maybe it was half an hour after Chatzos. I don't know how long it took Paroi to run and find Moshe Rabbeinu. But they had 5 hours, 5.5 hours of warning. Why is it lahispik b'tzekam lahachmitz? It's a little strange that they didn't have time. Why didn't the dough have time to rise?
They had to bake for 6 million, 3 million people.
Each person has to bake for his family.
Yeah, but they didn't all have it up.
They all had up. Why didn't they have up? Light a fire, you bake. I don't know, it could be, I was just thinking, Rabbi Yaakov has a Shtikl Torah in Parshas Bai. He explains a lot of the Pesukim there, the whole Seder of the Korban Pesach. Rabbi Yaakov has a Shita that the whole idea that night comes before day on the calendar started by Matan Torah. Until Matan Torah, day, it was always day and then night, the way Goyim, you know, look at it. Not Goyim, will look at midnight. That it was, everybody he said, was not told to Klal Yisrael till Har Sinai. They never heard this idea. He writes, Adam was created by day. So Adam created, counted day and then night. And the next day and then night. So it was always day and night. So he explains many things with this. He has, it's a precious play. You can look at it. He explains with this also the whole Seder of the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is shecht it by day and eat the following night, which to us is two different days. But he says in Mitzrayim, it was one day. You shecht and eat. It was the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Was that day-night. That day-night, I would call it the 14th, you call it the 15th. That day-night was the mitzvah. Now, the Taisus says that, brings the Yerushalmi, the first Taisus in Makar Shanagu, that on the day you bring a carbon, any carbon, is your yomtif, is yomtifti day. And that's why Makar Shanagu, Lasis Malacha, Erev Pesach, is only Ad Chatzais, but after Chatzais, you're not allowed to do Malacha Mikra Adin, because the day you bring a carbon, it's a yomtif. Now, we understand that literally, that's a yomtif, it's also a malacha. So it may be that in Mitzrayim, that day and the following night was also a malacha, like yomtif. And yomtif, you're allowed to bake for that day, now bake for the next day. Never allowed to bake on one day of yomtif for the next day. So it could be that overnight, that had a din of a yomtif, it was yomtif shalahem. So they were not allowed to bake only for that day. So that yomtif of day and then night, they're not allowed to bake. So they couldn't bake for that trip until Alois HaShachar the next morning. So Lehispik B'Tzekam, they didn't have enough time for it to become Chametz, because they didn't have enough time, because they couldn't bake overnight, because overnight was Yom Tov. So the next morning, when they started to bake, then they had the thing. God, such a nice terrorist thing. What? It's a Yom Tov. No, it was really Yom Tov for that day. For that day, they could bake. But they only baked for that day. What do you mean? For Pesach, for that night.
After
Mount Torah. Yeah, that's all one day. How can they shut the carbon Pesach? It's also. What? Yes. Right. Okay.
Nice.
Kabbalah and the Kabbalah. If you have your own terrace, I have a problem. As long as my terrace is also good. It's, okay. Grada had asked the Kasha once. I once gave a, I don't remember what the name of the shir was, but I once gave a shir with, it must have been one of the impenetrable shirs, shirim. And I asked then how Nachshon ben Aminadab jumped into the Yamsuf, if it was the seventh day of Yamtif, it was a Yamtif for them. They're already mitzvah in Yamtif on the seventh day. And the halach ish riyasan zui kibusan. You're not allowed to put clothing into water on Yom Tov. So how did he jump into the Yamsu? All his clothing was getting soaked. So I said, it'll be a raya as a machlik rishayim and bayan daf yitzayin or ches. If there's a heter of derech lichluch, if this is to put clothing into water. If you're wearing it, you're walking through something and it gets wet, Taisus holds is a heter of shriyasan of derech lichluch. So I say it's a raya. Otherwise, how did Nachshon run into the Yamsu? So, what? Which I say. Where's the Mitzvah say to jump into the sea?
So,
not Mitzvah say. The Mitzvah say jump into the sea.
Yeah.
I don't know. In yeshiva, the guy said maybe he got undressed. Right? So I told him, my God, there's a picture of him jumping in. He's wearing all his clothing. It could be if they had to get undressed, it would explain why everyone was reluctant to jump in. They wanted to take all those clothing and jump in, but I don't know. So I asked this kasha, so everyone smiled. But listen, and the Chassam Sofer I found, you're not going to believe this, in Parshas Bay, in the regular Chassam Sofer Teres Maisha, the Chassam Sofer asks, on the Dibra Masel's Vayashi Lom, he asks, how were the Yidden allowed to take all of the wealth of Mitzrayim out? It was Yom Tif. You're not allowed to carry on Yom Tif for the next day. You're only allowed to carry what you need for that day. So how are they allowed to carry out all these, all this gold and silver and all these things? They didn't need it for that day. They know. They took it to carry into the Midbar. Okay, 1 second. So this does some Seifer's kasha. Now listen to his teretz. You're not going to believe this. You can look it up. Some Seifer says, it says in the first Mishnah, the 24th parak of Masechta Shabbos, Mishehir Shech Bederech, that someone is traveling. So what do you do? It's dark and you're going to lose all, you have all your money with you. So it's on a chamar. It's on your donkey. So it says you let it be on your donkey, but every time the donkey stops, it makes a hanocha. There's an isser of a donkey also doing malacha. That's sort of the 40th malacha of Shabbos. So Mechaber. So he says right before it stops, what it says, you're traveling right before the donkey's ready to stop, you're supposed to lift it off his back, so that when he stops, he's not doing the hanocha, and then when he stops, you put it back. Then when you're ready to tell the donkey to go, you lift it up, you hit the donkey, it starts going, and you put it on its back. So the donkey doesn't do an akira, doesn't do an hanocha, so it's only carrying it, so even though that's really also awesome in the Rabbanon, but for Mokim Hefsid, it's not a Seder Aisa, so every time it stops, you lift it up, and every time it starts going, you lift up. So the Sefer writes, and when they left Mitzrayim, that's what they did. Everyone had 70 donkey loads of things. Every time they stopped, they had to lift it up. And every time they stopped, you had to put it down again. He says, that's what he writes. That's why he doesn't say it. He doesn't say it. Almost. What he says is, that's why Hashem had to beg them. He had to beg them, take over. So we got to beg them. Because it's such a pain in the neck. You have to pick it up, put it down every time. So that's what Sam Sofer writes. I guess he said it on a Seder night or something. This is the way they did it. Now, I have to say, it's a great Chassam Sofer. The main mailand of Chassam Sofer is, it's a way to remember that Mishnah in the Sefer Shabbos. Like, once you hear this, you remember the Mishnah. But I would think the Emissar Teretz, I mean, the Pashtus Dika Teretz, you're allowed to do Malacha on Yom Tif if a Mitzvah's Hayyim. You're allowed to carry a Lulav on Sukkot. You're allowed to carry something that's a Mitzvah for that day. That's called a Tzarech Hayyim. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a mitzvah, Al Pi HaDibur, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, B'Makashim Emchem, take out, it was a mitzvah sayayim, you're allowed to carry for a mitzvah sayayim. So then, there would be no issue. The issue would be, when they got to the Yom Suf, that was already the seventh day, they already did the mitzvah, they took it out of Mitzrayim. The seventh day is Vayta Yom Tif. How are they allowed to carry on, again? How are they allowed to carry on the seventh day? So Sefer doesn't ask. So I suggested that there, that's why the Torah makes a big deal. There were walls. When they went to Yom Suf, there were walls around them. And so you'll ask, Mechitzah's on two sides, is that good enough? That's not a good kasha. Gemara says in Erechin, it's not well known. Erechin, it's around Daf Tezayin, Yedzayin. And there's a diagram even in the bottom of the Gemara. It's not true that Klal Yisrael walked through the Yom Suf from one side to the other. It's not emes. The Gemara says they walked in a chatzi eagle. They walked in a semicircle and came back on the same side of the embankment. So why did they do that? Why didn't they go across? The Gemara doesn't say why. It says they came back on the same side. I tell you why. If they had gone straight across, there would have been walls on two sides. It would have been usher to carry. Walls on two sides is not a heter to carry. But once they went in a semicircle, there were walls now on three sides. So once they had walls on three sides, they were allowed to carry whatever they were carrying. Because when you make a semicircle, you have a wall to the east, a wall to the west, and a wall to the south. So you have three walls. So then,
That's the rules of it. They had no choice. They have to follow the rules.
Once they went, they had no choice. But otherwise, they couldn't carry. They'll leave everything behind. What? Before Shabbos? Before Mora. Yeah, but the Tzavah, they were told about the mitzvah of Pesach and Parshas Bo. Were they told about the seventh day? No, they were told then. They were told Shivas Yom Matzah Techel Yitzvah on the table. They were told earlier by Yom Rishon Mikra Kodesh, by Yom Shvi'i Mikra Kodesh, Yalochem, Kol Malachel Yasabachem, Achshi Yachol Nefesh. They were told. Moshe Rabbeinu told them the words by Yom Rishon Mikra Kodesh, by Yom Shvi'i Mikra Kodesh, Yalochem. You could argue about it, but. Maybe you're right. I don't know. What? The Bechitzais of people. What? It was made on Shabbos. You could use, right? People can make a Mechitz even on Shabbos. You can make a Mechitz of an Adam on Shabbos. So that also, Mechitz can be made on Shabbos. You know, make it because it's a Malacha, but it's made by itself. According to why? According to Yaakov, that night was still Shishi, right? According to Yaakov, he's talking about Shabbos. Okay. In the Manishtana, Halayla hazeh shtei pa'amim. It says in the Haggadah, Halayla hazeh shtei pa'amim, ein mol karpas and zaltzvasser, and ein mol marin charaisis. It seems to be incorrect, at least in my house. In my house, we dip the karpas and zaltzvasser, we dip the marin charaisis, and we dip the karech and charaisis. We have a meaning that different in Hagen. We dip the karech and charaisis as well, which is the machabashita. So we dip three times. It's not halayla hazeh shtei pa'amim, it's halayla hazeh shleisha pa'amim.
That's part of Marah.
We dip, yeah, we do dip three times. It's not Eimol Marah Charaisis, it's Eimol Marah Charaisis. It seems that the number that we say is not 100%, is not 100%. What? You don't say Tzveimol. You say shtei pa'amim. If you say shtei minim, it would be good. Right, the karpas and the mar, you drip the, but shtei pa'amim doesn't sound to be right. We do a shleisha pa'amim at the seder. It's what? That's a kasha anyway. That's a different kasha.
Figures
are dipping in it. Okay. The what? We dip two. From now on, I should point out to you that the kairach is mikra adin. It's not well known. The Rambam paskins like Hillel. So machlekes in the Gemara, if you eat them separately, matzis umrayim yachlu means eat it separate, eat it together, or tachluhu you're supposed to eat it separately. So machlekes in the Gemara had a darshan. The Rambam paskins like Hillel, which means that at least at the time of Karban Pesach, that kairach was ikar hadin to eat it together. Now bizman hazeh, we can't eat the first matzah together with the mar, because the time of the rabbanon mar bizman hazeh is the rabbanon can't be mevatla dairaisa. So we eat the matzah and then the mar. But the mitzvahs marar, it's yitachin, that the ikar achilas of mitzvahs marar might be in the kairach. And that's why it says in the paiskim, all the paiskim say, not to be mafsik from the bracha al achilas matzah until after after you eat the kairach. As a matter of fact, some places have a minik to say zechel amigdash kehillel after they eat it. The Be'er Halacha has a heter. He's mefakvek, but at the end he ends up that you could say it before. I guess this might say inyan, you could say it before. But the fact is that people tend to talk, and really a person should not be mafsik in between. The ideal way, when you have a large group of people at the Seder, to do mitzi matzah, the ideal way is the following. The first, what does everyone have to receive? Everyone has to have in front of him, ideally, two kazesim of matzah, and part of the top matzah, and part of the prusa, part of the broken matzah. Now, the best thing would be everyone would get a kazayas from the top matzah and a kazayas from the broken matzah. But it's not big enough for everybody. So we give everyone a small amount, then it's tariff other matzah to it. The ideal way to do it, instead of starting to measure out shiurim after you make brachis, which is a long hefsek, so what we do is everyone, before you go to wash, everybody take two kazesim. Whatever you hold, somebody is machmir, someone is nekel, whatever you hold your shiur is, you prepare by your place two kazesim, minus a mashahu. Then we come in, the brachis hamoitzi you make on all three matzahs in your hand together. By the bracha of a matzah, you let go of the bottom matzah. You make a bracha on the top two matzahs. We make the bracha. And then we give out to each person a small piece of the top matzah, a small piece of the bottom matzah. I pass out, and everyone breaks off a piece of the top matzah, and then everyone gets a piece of small matzah. It doesn't take a long time. And then we start eating the mitzi matzah, and then the Mara, and then the Kaira from the bottom matzah, and again we'll mitzvah. That's really the most efficient way, we'll call it, of doing it. The Hamaitzi, really, everyone's supposed to be Yaitzi with the Mavarech. The Hamaitzi they shouldn't make, because they have to be Yaitzi with Lechem Mishnah, and unless they have in front of them themselves Lechem Mishnah. And the Mara, everyone should ideally make their own bracha. So that's the ideal way of doing it. Whatever you do is good, but that's the ideal way of doing it.
So you Marar too, then. You got the Marar before.
The Marar, it's just not so practical to give out the Marar, especially in Makbaran Gebrok, and you use leaves, they get everything wet. And I know I saw somewhere there, Chaim Kanievsky used to go to his father's Seder. They used to give out small shiurim. So he stuck in his pocket a little extra matzah. He didn't rely on his father's share of matzah. He stuck in all. Because there's no reason to be yaitzah with the other person. Any time you could make it, you could be yaitzah with the person who's leading the seder if you want. Yeah, that's okay. And or everybody could do it themselves. However, that you could do either way. There's a tagim yainasin that sometimes people say over at the seder that when they put the matzah on their shoulders, it baked in the sun. You ever heard that? That the sun baked the matzahs rather than, because they were traveling, and they couldn't take a fire with them. So the sun baked the matzahs. I just have a horror on that. It's probably not emes lahalacha. Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel was a tana, he could argue. But we paskin that you're not yoitza with matzah that's baked in the sun. Just like a bishul b'chama is not bishul for hilchis Shabbos. And there's a mishnah in Mesechtas Chala that you're not yoitza, that's dochi of chala, if you're baking the sun. So the Gemara says, I think it's the Daf Lamed Zayin in Psachim. The Gemara says that you're not yoitza with matzah that's baking the sun. The matzah has to be baking the fire. And therefore, so it could be. So you could say this was matzah; it just shouldn't be chametz. But it's very strange that we eat matzah to remember their matzah, and if we would eat their matzah, it wouldn't be yoitza.
Right.
You know, very, very strange. But we eat it al shumma al shul shalai yispik. What? When they went out of Mitzrayim. Yeah. So we're remembering lahispik b'tzeikam to lahachmitz, and we remember by eating something, we're not yaitz eating what they had, we have to eat what we had. It could be, everything could be. But what? It's not yaitz ben Aziel. So if that's the case, then it's alright, it's a kasha, like I tell you. Yeah. I asked that a little while ago. I suggest it was. Yeah, okay. Okay. There's no Shmiel Shem Mitzvah. There was no mitzvah to eat by day. So, but the Chefs of Matzah should be the same object, the same Matzvah, but okay. That's good. What? Ugais, what are Ugais? I don't know. Some Sephardim know. I don't know. The Syrians eat soft matzah.
Why is Ugas soft?
Why is Ugas soft? In Israel, it's soft. I don't know. Crack is not called Ugas. He says Ugais means Kostoshinako.
Ugal.
Okay. All right. The Kiddush, the Shechiyanu on Kiddush by the Seder, you should try to remember, and remember to remind everyone that the Shechiyanu goes really at all the mitzvahs halayla. It doesn't go only on the Yantif, but the Shechiyanu goes on all the mitzvahs halayla. Now, I mentioned the Shaila yesterday. I just want to mention an Eitzah. I mentioned yesterday that during the Seder last year, someone came into our house with a shaila, which is highly unusual. The Sudas Leil Shabbos, the Friday night Sudas, it's common that people come in with shailas. They're usually Chalon Shaila of one sort or another. And my kids were little, and someone would knock in the middle of the Suda, they'd say, oh, Chalon Shaila, you know. But the middle of the Seder is the first time it ever happened that someone knocked on my door with a Seder shaila. And the person had already had the first kais, and while they were saying Magid and the Becher was sitting in front of him, he realized there was a hole in the Becher because the wine was the wine level was receding as he was saying the Haggadah. And I think he said initially he thought he didn't fill it, he refilled it, and then suddenly it was a pool. So he realized there was a Nekev in the kais. So he came to ask if he has to drink the first kais over, because you're not allowed to drink an extra kais, you might have followed kaises. But on the other hand, if he wasn't Yaitzi, he has to make Kiddush again. Now the halacha is that if you make Kiddush and it's not a kais, you're not Yaitzi, you have to make Kiddush again. These halachas, by the way, are not in Hilchas Pesach, not in Hilchas Kiddush. They are in the Simukuf Samach Gimel, I think it is, by Hilchas Berchus Hamazon and Alakais. That's the first place in Shulchan Aruch a kais shel bracha is mentioned. That's where it's brought that it has to be a kais. A kais with a nekev is takam akiv. If you have a kais that it's ma'akiv, it's ma'itziyai and the wine dripped out. So what I did then when he came in is we took I took a 3.5 ounce or 3 ounce becher. And I measured if the nekev was above a revius, and it was above a revius, and that, it says in the Sharatzian, was, at that moment I didn't know the Sharatzian, but I told him I'll be svar, it should be good, and later I saw the Sharatzian Taka says that if the nekev is higher than the revius, that it's, that you yaitze, it's a kashra kais, and you yaitze. What I want to add, one day I'm going to give a shir on the list of things, Blineder, that people should always have in mind. They should be kaveah, always have in mind. One of the things you should always have in mind every time you make Kiddush or Avdallah is that the Kiddush, the Avdallah, by Priya Goffin, is on all the wine that's on the table. Any wine, whether it's in the Becher or not in the Becher. There's a bottle on the table, it's not ma'akiv to hold it in your hand. If it's for fun of it, it's good. And if you have in mind that way, very often the Ashaivas, people make Kiddush or Avdallah, and then the wine is spoiled. And then they have a shaila, if they're yaitza, if it's totally spoiled, you're not yaitza, it's drinkable yaitza, it's very hard to shatz up. If a person's kaveya, that he always has in mind that the kiddush is on all the wine that's there, so then he's yaitza, because he's yaitza on this wine, on that wine, he's yaitza on all the wine. He doesn't have to drink rive of all the wine on the table, he just has to drink rive of the revius. And that way a person is yaitza. Wine that, okay, maybe if your yaitzev is not al kiddush, it's not al shulchan. It says yaitzev is al shulchan. Yaitzev it's in the closet. Yaitzev kiddush, maybe. But if you go up in yaitzev kiddush, maybe. I don't know. I just know what it says.
But the kids, you should give them what size for the kids? Cup, regular cup for the kids, or they could have smaller cups.
The children. It's an interesting thing. You know, Ramesha has his shita. That you have to drink wine, not grape juice. There's a very stark araya. There's a Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim that says that the children have to be mechanech them with arba kaisis. I think it says Amar Rabbi Yehuda. I think it is v'chidakot shel ketanim b'yayin. You give ketanim to drink wine. Now, if you eat it with grape juice, what's he asking? The ketanim like grape juice. They love grape juice. They drink a lot of grape juice. What do you mean they don't have grape juice? You squeeze a grape, you have grape juice. Everybody has grape juice. What do you mean? Yeah, we'll take grapes and we'll try it. No, if you let the grape sour before you squeeze it, I'll tell you why. Because in order to get the maximum amount of juice out of a grape, you ever had an apple that you left in the refrigerator over the summer and you come back? It's full of liquid, it's sour, but it's full of liquid. In order to get the most grapes out of grapes, they do let it get old, and therefore when you squeeze it out, the grape juice is not as sour, it's not such good grape juice. But it's not mistaver that they had to be such big geniuses to think of squeezing grapes and getting grape juice. Why couldn't they squeeze grapes and get grape juice? You squeeze good grapes before pasteurization. If you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice.
But it spoils.
It spoils, so squeeze it and drink it. So squeeze it fresh.
When did they pick the grapes and squeeze the grapes?
All right, everything could be. Everything could be. Yeah. Okay. Okay, and anyway, the question was how much you should give children and adults. Everyone should take a 3-ounce becher, or a 4-ounce becher, you want to be mahadur, or a 5-ounce becher. You take a 3-ounce becher and you could fill it up, half grape juice, half wine, and a child or a woman could drink rife kais. The chatzli is supposed to drink the whole kais. Drink rife kais. It's not so much wine, it's not so much grape juice, except that people are talking that well and can't do it, but for the average person could do it. If he's a cotton, if he's like gil chidach, so big deal. Whatever he drinks is good. And if he's a gil chidach, you know, you do it if he's willing, you do it, and he drinks the amount, and it's good. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But you should know that Pesach is different than Kiddush. Kiddush, the din is Rav Revius. When you make Kiddush, you have to drink Rav Revius. Pesach is a din of Arba Kaisais. Din of the Kais, you have to drink Rav Kais. So if you have a big Kais, because, you know, Yinlas bought you a nice, gigantic, you know, 10-ounce Kais, you're going to have to drink Rav of the Kais. And I'll tell you, I remember the first Seder I had by my in-laws after I was married, and the first Seder was someone else's table. And they gave me a nice, beautiful silver becher. And I had a brother-in-law that was 7 years old who had this little battered yellow toiv becher that holds 4 ounces. And before the first kais, I went over to him and I traded with him. And he was so honored. I gave him a beautiful kais. I took the yellow toiv kais. But Lamaisa, who needs a 10-ounce or 7-8-ounce kais? It's not. Grada, you know, people say that they found the Chafetz Chaim's kais and it was very small, or these other Becherim as well. Don't believe all those stories. I don't think it's true. I don't know if the Chafetz Chaim even had wine. In Litta, there was very little wine. They had wine. I had a neighbor for years. They had wine at Pesach. I asked him, he learned in Tells. Olav Shalom, he's away. I used to visit him with my children on the way home from shul. Every Lail Shabbos, he was in a wheelchair. But his mind was fine. And anytime you go to elderly people who are not well, you talk about their youth, it brings them alive. I asked him if they drank wine or grape juice at the Seder in Tells. So he started laughing. He said, wine in Tells? Who had wine? He said, you needed a prescription to get wine. Wine was sold at the pharmacy. You needed a prescription. He told me they had enough wine for the Rosh Hashiva. He had 4 cases of wine. Everyone else, he said, drank med. Med, for those of you who saw in Mishnah Berurah and different places, is Shecha Te'enim. It's an alcoholic beverage made from figs and honey. I don't know if they did add the honey to it, they didn't, but it was a Chamar Medina. And the way he laughed at the idea of having wine, it could be that the Yeshiva's Tells was poorer than where your father's remembering. Could be it was two different tkufis, I don't know. I'm telling you, it could be no different school for this. What?
I was in Prague. As far as they have a museum as well, what Hitler collected from
Russia, right.
And the kaises are very small.
Smaller 3-ounce kais? 3 ounces is so small.
But they were definitely much smaller than what we have.
Well, our kaises are all 7 ounces or more.
And, yeah. And the kaises, they're really tiny, you know, they were not really small.
So I don't know.
Can you explain what you can get?
So I'll tell you an interesting thing about Yayin Mevushel. First, let me just tell you what the conventional wisdom is, and what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach held. The conventional wisdom, and it's MSRP, the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, is that cooked wine is inferior wine. That anytime you cook wine, since alcohol has a lower evaporation temperature, a lower boiling point, than anything else, so the wine changes, the quality of the wine changes. When you boil it, the proportion of the different ingredients of a certain wine that give it its unique taste changes, and it's not as good. You go to a wine connoisseur today, he'll tell you that boiled wine is not wine. You know, it's like it's not a fine wine. The Gemara says that you can't use boiled wine on the Mizbeah. Cooked wine is not kosher on the Mizbeah because it's considered to be an inferior wine. And that's why the Chatchila, there's a maila not using mevushel wine, and that's also, it's a chumra, it's also a kula, that's why v'yayin mevushel, there's no yayin nesach, because they were not menasech, inferior wine, and avay nezara, they only did it with a good wine. Shlomo Zalman has a hara, and by the way, that's why Ramesha holds, you don't need 212 to boil wine, because the whole inferiority of wine from boiling is because alcohol has such a low boiling point, a low evaporation temperature, and that happens even a much smaller, much lower degree. And since pasteurization is, I think, at 175 or 180, Rabbi Shaul says that's well above what's needed. Shlomo Zalman has a ha'ar on this, which is printed in the different svarim that quote him, that today when they boil wine, they boil it in a pressure cooker sort of that retains the evaporation and it just melts and condenses back into the wine. So that way, the change is less significant to the wine. Although someone upstairs who's very into wines, the Davins here, told me that it's still considered an inferior wine today too. So Zalman held that our Yayim Mevushel is not Yayim Mevushel, which is a kula for Kiddush, and a Chumra for Yayin Nesach. Yayin Nesach is a Drabanim. There's plenty of sheetahs to be Seimachan. But the horror that people had that today, the boiled wine, you can't even tell the difference. This bottle, it says Mevushel. This bottle doesn't say Mevushel. To us, it tastes the same. But that difference is a difference of according to Shlomo Zalman, that's insignificant difference, and therefore he holds that it doesn't have the ma'al of Yayin Mevushel. But what should I do? You know, chaver of lo hiskimo imai, and I think everybody else seems to understand.
What about the sugars and the water?
Ingredients, anything that's added to wine makes it a second choice for Kiddush or Arba Kaisis. However, chaviv is more important than that. So if a person has a choice between a wine that has sugar added or fruit juice added or a chaviv takes precedence, a wine. What? Red, I started to be more marked than red even for Kiddush. Chaviv, yeah. The Ramban Shita is that red is marked even by Kiddush. It's the Yeshem Rishulchadok. We don't pass it that way. But there's a sheet in the Rishon, it's Ma'akiv. All the other things, no sheet is Ma'akiv. Chaviv, Dachaviv, grapes, just wine. It's for kiddush, it's not Ma'akiv. Red, there's a sheet that's a Ramban, then it's Ma'akiv. And since I learned the Ramban sheet, I try to be Ma'akiv that for the Kiddush Kais, to use a dark wine, what they call a red wine, it's not always red. To my eye, it's not always red. But at least to use a dark wine, and for Kiddush and for the Arba Kaisis.
All year round?
All year round. The Ramban holds us not. We don't pass night to Ramban, but it's a sheet that brought in the Shulchan Aruch. Kiddush on Shabbos is Deraisa. Kiddush on Yom Tov, the Magen Mishnah says it's a Derabanan. There's a sheet of Mechubetzes in the Masechta Speya that says it's Deraisa. There's a Prima Gadim. Normally, a sheet of Mechubetzes in Beya, we don't bring La Halacha. But there's a Prima Gadim, and I'll try to say over the word exactly. But the way I remember it, he leaves himself ambiguous. He says, "Magen Mishna Kosav, Hamagen Mishna Kosav Shu Derabanan, Deloy Ke." He doesn't call Shita Mukubetzis. He calls it Deloy Ke Shita Chadasha. Deloy Kasif Asakeinim Beya Daf Zayin Vehu Tamua. And it's ambiguous at Vehu Tamua what it goes on. So Hamagen Mishna Kosav Shu Derabanan. Kama, the law, Kasif is a Kenan Beya, Shuda Raisa, Kama, Vuhu Tamua. Who's Tamua? It's Pella, the Pella is the Shitas de Raisa, the Pella is the Shitas de Rabbanan. And it's very unclear from the Prima Gadim, so I started thinking, well, if he doesn't say what the Kasha is, there must be an obvious Kasha. Which Shita is the obvious Shita? There's the Raisa, there's the Rabbanan. So which would be the obvious Shita? Why? Which Pasuk do we learn Kiddush from? From Zachus Yom HaShabbos. So L'chaira, the Tamua should be, if he doesn't explain the Kasha, L'chaira, the Tamua would be the Shita Olzis Teraisa, which means the Drabanan. So probably the Iker is the Drabanan. Nafkamina is for the first of the Arba Kaisis, which Shir to use. As a Hirus, and people at every Seder, what? I believe Chaviv comes ahead of all the other things. That's my recollection. We can look it up. A Zahirus, and at every Seder table, there's somebody who makes this mistake. The fourth Kais, as opposed to the first three, the fourth Kais, many people do not drink in its entirety. So even some people try to be machmir to drink the whole Kais. By the time you get to the fourth Kais, after a Suda and everything, many people drink Rav Kais. Fine, you could drink Rav Kais. But people think that they say Allah Geffen V'Apri HaGeffen, it's in the Haggadah. Everything in the Haggadah you have to say. Now Allah Geffen V'Apri HaGeffen is not part of Sipi Yitzis Mitzrayim. It's a Bracha Achrayim. You have to drink the Shir to be Chayiv in a Bracha Achrayim. People who drink Rav Kais should not be making al agefa al pri agefed. It's a bracha of atala, because if you don't drink a revius, then you don't, and even the third or fourth kais is not mitzarif because there's more than k'diachlis pras beinayim. So it's a zehirus that people have to be careful at the seder, not to say al agefa al pri agefen if they're not. So we no any time. Let's eat a meal. So you eat. You make one bracha chayna on everything. So here also you make one bracha. If you drank a full revius on the third kais, you don't have to drink a full revius in the fourth. You need one of the two. The namit starf, the half and the half. Yeah, the half and the half is namit starf to the shir. You have to drink all kais. As a matter of fact, even some people that are makel on the third kais, on the three kaises to be yitzu with a 3 ounce revius. And one Rav told me he's makbid on the fourth kais to drink the biggest share of a revius because there it's a suffix of brachla batala. So there he wants to be yaitzu the full share of a revius, the kalashitas. And the other ones he yaitzu with 3 or 4 ounces, the 5 ounces, the chazanisha share, I believe, I don't think it's a bigger share than 5 ounces, 5.1. So you have to fill it, it should be a little godush. But Bakopanim, that's his thing. I'd like to share with you. The Hergish says yes, but in Shulchan Aruch I don't know that it says such a thing. But I would think, Eretz Yisrael, wine should be chaviv. It was certainly chaviv to. What? Pesach also doesn't say. I'd like to share with you one Dvar Halacha. I don't know if I'm right or I'm wrong, but I had a machshava in a Halacha. It's a little bit of a tmiya. We sell chametz to the guy the way we do. And this started, as far as we can tell, as early as the time of the Bach. Now, they always sold chametz to a guy, and the guy took it home. But the idea of selling chametz in your house to a guy is not more than a few hundred years old. And it's a little bit of, and it's kavua beklal Yisrael that you could do it. It's strange, in the Gemara, you did bedika, why didn't you bitl? You did bedika, why didn't you bedika? Shema, maybe you didn't do bitl, yafa yafa, maybe you didn't really mean it. And on the bedika, maybe you missed it. And so why didn't they think? They weren't smart enough to think of mechira, of selling it to a guy. Why didn't they have to say, to punk the eitzah started the last day in the zman of the achrayim? So I have a halachadik, a technical teretz, why from the time of the Bachin on you could do it, and in the time of the Gemara they couldn't do it. But in order to listen to it, you have to know a halacha, and actually two halachas. First halacha you have to know is that just like you're not allowed to own chametz, you're not allowed to be mekabel achrayis for a guy's chametz on Pesach. It's an isser if it's yours, it's an isser if you're responsible for it. So if you're responsible for a guy's chametz, if your guy's neighbor is getting a delivery from the grocer and he says, I'm not going to be home, could you take it? And the grocer brings it in, and you see that there's cereal there, or there's cake there, you can't take it, you can't be mekabel achrayis on chemtzei shel guy. And not only that, it says even if you're not technically chayiv, you tell the guy, I'm not responsible. But you feel that if he's going to leave chametz by you, something's going to happen, you're going to feel an obligation to pay for it. He'll be angry at you, he'll make problems for you. That's also called achrayis Yisrael. Now, because of that, they come up a number of shailas. And one, the first shaila is, somebody has a closet full of schnapps, I'm going to sell it to a guy. Now, what's going to happen if that schnapps gets destroyed on Yom Tov? We're going to tell the guy the day after Yom Tov, because we got bad news for you. You know, it was your schnapps, a gunner broke in, he stole the schnapps. Well, I'm selling for 200 families. So let's say the guy makes $100 off of me. If I'll tell him, $10 worth of schnapps was lost, he'll say, okay, take it off the $100. But if Chalila, $1,000 worth of chametz was lost, I tell the guy, listen, I can't give you $100. The tip I give you every year, I'm not giving you. Plus, you owe me $900. Some of your chametz was lost. I don't think the guy would do it. Certainly, if $10,000 worth of chametz would be destroyed, I don't think the guy would do it. So we have a major problem. Technically, all the chametz you sell to the guy is Bachrayis Yisrael. How do we do the mechira? Now, what they do in the minute Chabad is that they have an Arav Kablin. A Yid is an Arav. He signs a shtar to be an Arav Kablin on the Mechira. He's an Arav for the guy. And that way they learn the guy, even though you'll say, now he's Achroi. So the Lomdus says, no, he's not Achroi on the Chametz. He's Achroi on the guy. The guy is achrei the chametz. If he won't pay, he'll pay. It's like the guy paid. So that's the meaning of Chabad. I know as Musper Moshe Bik by Mechiras Chametz, he did the same thing. He had an Arav Kabbalah signed. Most of Klal Yisrael doesn't do it. So what's our teretz? The answer is that how do you know Achrayis Yisrael Yechayim? We learn that from Bal Yimotzei, and that's called Motzei Yetzlei. Anything you're responsible for, you is called Motzei Yetzlei. There's a chilek that says, at least in Achrayim, probably in Rishayim, that the only time Yechayim in the Achrayis of Chometz is if it's in Beis Yisrael, if it's in a Jew's home. If it's in a Jew's house, you're responsible for it. If it's in a guy's house, then you're not responsible for it. The truth is every supermarket has Chometz over Pesach, and this Isser of part of the Isser Kabbalah's Achrayis, even if you're not Achray, is Reitz of Bekiyuma, is also an Isser, if you want it to be there. Now they want it to be there. They want the morning after Pesach to be able to pull off the cover and sell it. Pizza store has flour, which is chametz. He wants to have it. He's right to Bikiyuma. He wants it. Ayiz Oiver, he's right to Bikiyuma. He wants the chametz. Teretz is that it's only Asa b'Beis Yisrael. It's only Asa if it's in a Jew's property. When we do Mechiras chametz, whether you realize it or not, you sign a Shtar Shah, the way we all do it is we sell the chametz to the guy and rent the place where the chametz is located to the guy. So technically, it's chametz shel guy, the beisa shel guy, or the cabinet shel guy, or the closet shel guy, wherever it is, it's the beis akum. And since it's the beis akum, so therefore we have no problem with achrayis. That is the halacha, which is not a chiddush I'm saying, this is the basic halacha. I mentioned yesterday, Shlomo Zalman Tzahara, that if you go to a motel and there's beer or schnapps in the fridge for sale, then it's a problem because it's Achrayis Yisrael. If something happens, you're going to have to pay for it. So l'chayr, there's an eitzah. If a person has a mind not to be kind of the schirus, not to be kind of the makim, it will be blaib a cheder shel goy, and you have this hetter. Now, what does that have to do with the change from now till then? The sugyas and shas that appear to be a stira. If schiras kanya or schiras leikanya, when you rent an apartment, do you have a kinyan in the guf hakarka of the apartment, or it's just owed to you? Like in the machlekes rishayim, let's say I'm a tenant, I move out early and I see I'm mechil the rest of the month, and later I change my mind. Does mechila help? If you hold schiras kanya, then you own the apartment for the month. If you mechil something you own, mechila doesn't work for something you own. If I own something, I'm mechil it to you. It's not. It's still mine. If it's only a shibud, if it's your apartment, it's meshubit to the tenant, the mechila helps. There's a machlekes rishayim, if and stiris and suyas and shas and if I desire to psachim, if stiris the tenant is kind of the karka of his apartment or not. Rabbi Chanan in Kaivet Tzaharis brings from the Rimagash the following. I think it's Tezayin in the Kaivet Tzaharis. He says this is all in the time of shas, where stiris ena mishtalemes elul b'saif. Tenants paid rent at the end of the month, just like a worker gets his wages at the end of a month. Schirus einam ishtalemes elah b'saif. In the time of the Gemara, rent was due at the end of the month. Zokta Rimagash. The homach leikis of schirus kanya, schirus leikanya, is all when you don't give kesef at the beginning of the month. So as a shailuf, the schirus agreement is conveying ownership to you or not. But in a place where the minig is to give at the beginning of the month, today, schirus is mishtalemes betchila. It's already been that way for a long time, that the minig ha'olam is that you pay rent in the beginning. The Rimagash says that kinyan kesef on schirus less than on the palud, that you are kind of the karka that you have. And therefore, when you pay rent in the beginning of the month, in such a place, a rental is paid up front, he says that then there's no shayla schirus kanya. No state in the Rimagash. So it could be that up until the time of around the time of the Bach, I don't know historically when this changed, but until the end of the Rishayim, was Schiris Mishtalemes L'Besayif, the minig was that you paid rent at the end. So the understanding of every rental was that a rental is you don't own the Guf HaKarka. The Guf HaKarka doesn't belong to you by a Stam rental, because that was a Stam rental in those days. It changed. Today, a Stam rental is Mishtalemes B'Tchila. If you make up with someone that is renting your apartment, you could be tabeim in the beginning of the month. They'll say, what do you mean? Mishtalemes elah b'saif. Yeah, but the minhag ha'medina is to pay in the beginning. You have to pay in the beginning. So in the time of the Gemara, the tenant didn't own the karka. So if I tell the guy, I'm selling you the chametz, I'm renting where the chametz is. But a rental then, there was no mindset that a rental, you owned the gufa karka. Stam rental, you didn't own the gufa karka. Nowadays, with stam rental, is you pay in the beginning. When you pay in the beginning, so then you're kind of the gufa karka. That's the key to our whole meaning of mechiras chametz, that we sell it and we don't give it to the guy to take home. The key is, because where the karka is located belongs to the guy, so it's not, it doesn't have an isra of achayis Yisrael. It could be, ulai, that that's why this minig ha'olam changed from the time of the Gemara and the Rishayim until today.
But
the stam das of a person is to do it that way. Maybe he didn't pay me. My boss, the Yalla Hoyer. The guy gives a deposit for the rent. Okay, we will meet in Yitz Hashem in 14 days again. We'll be back, Rezus Hashem, till the start of the